Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit our website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, got my friend Don Pease with us from Don Sign Tech. Good afternoon, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin, and as always, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So now, often businesses have peak seasons. So in the sign business, do you have a peak season? When is it?
Absolutely, we do. So our peak season is April till October, and that basically encompasses the warmer months, the reason being that a lot of times we have to dig holes, we have to get posts in the ground. We can't do it when the ground is frozen. Although not all signs are post signs, we can still put signs up in the wintertime, but if we've got blowing snow or if we've got wind, trying to lift a big sign up in the wind is like holding onto a giant sail, so we can't do it. But that's generally the time that people start thinking about it. It's really funny how nobody thinks about their signs all winter long, and then it's in the spring. Everybody thinks about it, and they want it in the ground tomorrow. So, yeah, our peak season is April to October.
So now that it's getting cold, does it slow down for you, or does it kind of the business change in a different direction?
Well, you would think that it would with the weather getting colder, but the ground's not frozen yet, so we still have some time. And this is the last big push before the ground freezes. So right now, everybody's rushing, push, push, push. We've got to get that sign up on that building. We've got to get those stubbed. We've got to get those posts in the ground. So it's going to be crazy probably till around mid-November, where we're just rushing to get everything done. So everybody, you know, who wasn't really thinking a whole lot through the summer, it was so hot and humid that as soon as the temperatures dropped, everybody started to think. So jobs that we thought, okay, I guess they're not going to go through, all of a sudden everybody's remembering and wanting it done and wanting it done now. So it is a little nuts right now. It's just the goal to get all these certain things done before the ground freezes or the snow flies.
So now what happens at the shop during your off season? Do you just go to Florida?
Well, we still do work. You know, we do less work, so we're not as busy. It's the time of year where we finally get to clean everything up. I mean, really clean it, because everything's flying while we're busy. You know, there's stuff on the floor, there's dust, there's sandpaper, there's everything all over the place. So this is a good time for us to clean. It's also a time for us to reorganize. It's time for us to touch base with the clients that, you know, for whatever reason, the job got dropped or it never followed through on, that we can call and say, so what's going on? You know, are you still going to do this? Did you get someone else to do it? Do you want to revisit it? You know, were you just too busy? And it's also a time where we spiff everything up. You know, I've got lots of graphics on my wall, and in the off season, I like to change them. You know, so I've got a different thing to look forward to for, you know, another year before I change my graphics again. So it's just cleaning up and organizing. And so we do still do a lot of interior work and smaller jobs.
So what do you want people to know about the difference in services from season to the season?
So here's what happens is in the off season, because it's quieter and because we're doing fewer really big jobs that require permits and trucks and crews and all that stuff, is that we can operate much faster. Client calls in the morning, we've got a proof for them by the afternoon, and then the next day, if it's a simple sign, the sign's done. So come peak season, they're expecting the same level of service, and that doesn't happen. We're so busy in the peak season that you'll call in the morning, you might get a call back in 2 to 3 days, you might get a proof a week, week and a half later, and then you get put into a queue with everybody else that's finally decided to move forward. And so what normally we could get done in less than a week, they're now waiting weeks to get finished. And so each time they want to change, it goes to the back of the queue again. You know, and then we've got to apply for permits. And, you know, we've got 20, 30 permits on the go at a time. In the wintertime, there are fewer sign permits being requested in the town. And so the towns can even make the permits go through faster. So that's the biggest difference. And slow season is how fast we can get things done.
I want to talk a little bit about the whole process of getting a sign. Because people think it's just you buy a sign, you put it outside, you put it on your building, and you're done with it. really not that simple, right?
No, it's not at all. I haven't yet come across a town that doesn't have bylaws with sign requirements. You know, the sign has to be a certain height off the ground. It has to be a certain different distance from the property line. It can't be any higher than, you know, say the roof line. You can't have an awning. You can't have illuminated signs in a certain part of town or certain towns even. There are towns in the area that you can't have an illuminated sign, period, end of story. Some towns also limit your colors and what the signs are made out of. A lot of the more historic towns, you know, all signs have to be made of wood, which is awful because wood's very work intensive, and it doesn't last. It rots, where the materials that we use today, they don't rot, they'll last forever. So there's permitting. Some towns even require design review before you can apply for the permit. Then there's other towns that have a historic commission that you have to go through first. And then if you want something that the bylaws do not allow, then you have to go through the Zoning Board of Appeals. And that's a 120-day process. So if you want your sign quickly, don't ask for something that's outside the sign regulations. And it's about $700, too, just to go through the process. There's also some buildings have different rules that are not set out in the bylaws. Sometimes there's a particular building where they set certain rules for it, and you don't know that until you apply for the permit, and the town goes, oh, well, this building is different. And then you also have the landlord you have to deal with. Some landlords want uniformity throughout the building. They don't want bright colors. Maybe they want everything to be black and gold. And those things are always laid out in your lease agreement. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the lease agreement. And then there's cost. You know, a lot of people don't stop and think. They don't budget their sign. Like, this is the most important part of your business. This is how people find where you are. And at the end, they're like, oh, geez, I only got $200 left. Can I have a $200? It's like, well, sure, you can have a $200 sign, but the building says that you have to have channel letters. That's a $2,000 sign. So those are all things that people aren't aware of. You can't just pop the sign on the building. I had a client tell me, hey, I'll get the permit. Don't worry about it. So I said, all right. And they said, we have the permit. You can put the sign up. So I go and I put the sign up, and not 2 hours later, I get a call from the town saying, there's no permit on that. Go take it down now.
Wow.
So it turned out they never got permission from their landlord. The landlord complained to the town. And the town, you know, I apologized profusely, and the town said, Don, we know. We've been working with you for years. We know you wouldn't put it up without a permit. The client either didn't understand what a permit was or lied. You know, so the sign ended up coming down, and the client didn't want to pay me. It was like, nope, too bad. The sign is done. The sign was installed.
Right.
I didn't charge you to take it down. You got to pay for it. So those are things that people don't think about at all.
And I find also it's just trying to work with you to understand what type of materials you want to use. Because unfortunately, as a small business owner, we often think of cost. And I respect that. We all have to. But if it's going to be representing your brand and your sign, and it's not going to do well in the weather, then you wasted your money, as well as making sure you understand what you can and can't use according to your lease and town bylaws. So that's why it's important to work with someone like yourself to understand this stuff, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, we take the headache away from the client. We'll either walk them through how to do this on their own, or we'll do it for them. Now, they're going to pay us for our time to do it. But if the client wants to save the money and do it, we walk them through it. If the client goes to the design review board meeting, never having been to one before and probably will never have to go to one again, I always give them my cell phone and tell them, if they ask you a question that you cannot answer, call me. I will be available. I do this all the time for clients. The design review board knows me very well. They know that I'll make myself available, so you don't have to be intimidated. And, you know, so that helps. It takes some of the sting or some of the fear of the unknown out of it for the client.
There's a lot to be said for that. Like you said, it's reputation. You know, it's knowing the bylaws of the town, you know, knowing what is and isn't going to work. That, it, like I said, it's not as simple as just, I want to buy a sign. You know, if it was, you know, it'd make life easier for people. But it makes a big difference, right?
It does. You know, your reputation is everything. If you don't back up what you do, no one's ever going to trust you. And word spreads quickly. You know, I had to do a four-story lift yesterday, and I couldn't get a police detail because of all the gas outages, and all the police were taken up doing these details. And so I called the client and the landlord, who is very closely involved, and I said, we're going to have to wait. I will check with them weekly. We'll see when we can get a police detail, but we cannot put this up right now. The landlord was livid. Why? I don't know. The client was very understanding, but the landlord was livid, and he said, just do it. You know, the police are busy. They can't see what you're doing. They're not going to, nobody will stop you. And I said, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's just a bad idea.
The town relies on me to do everything safely and legally, and you're asking me to break the town's rules. And he said, well, fine, I'll get someone else to do it. I said, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. Exactly.
And he didn't find somebody else to do it. None of us were going to take a risk on our insurance, take a risk on our reputation, risk someone getting hurt. You know, just nobody's willing to do that. And that's something that clients have to keep in mind, too, that there are processes, and you have to do them right, or you're going to get in trouble.
Absolutely. So, Dawn, how about the person who wants a sign, but they have no idea what they want? Can you kind of walk them through, you know, things like coloring, material? Because, I want a sign. Well,
yes.
Even easier, I want a sign. Make it pretty, though, Dawn, okay? I need a pretty sign. Well, it could be different to a lot of people. So for the guy or gal who's just like, I don't even know where to start, can you help them start?
Oh, absolutely. We start out first with a site survey. We go out to see their place. Show us where you want the sign so we can take pictures and measurements so that we can later scale the photo. So once we design the sign for them, we actually lay it over the photograph and it looks like it's already done. And they can say, I want it bigger, or no, I'd rather have it smaller, or can we change the shape? And those are changes that are made with a click of a mouse. It's very quick, it's very quickly done. We make a recommendation for materials, but we also ask them what their budget is. We have to see how much they want to spend. Because if they've got a small budget, well, a $200 square foot gold leaf sign is not going to fit into their budget. But a flat digital print sign will fit into their budget. And, you can start out, when small businesses start out, we don't have a lot of money. And so we can start out with a simpler sign with a less cost. And as they improve, as their business improves and the income improves, we can go back and revisit that sign. Maybe we can add on to the existing sign, or we can just make a couple changes to it, or we can make it into dimensionals, or you can get a new sign later on. But, we can start with, here's what I recommend for your budget. We like this material. It's lightweight. It's inexpensive. Or, hey, if you want a different look and you've got a little more money to spend, let's do some dimensional letters. Let's get some cut-out letters, make them nice and deep, nice and bright. There's lots of options, and we work our way through it. Cost is always the first question we have to ask because we don't want to show the client something that they can't afford.
Nothing worse than that in my eyes. You see it, you're like, well, it's always nice
up.
And the other thing you showed me. Yeah. It can be kind of awkward and stuff. So I agree.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the other thing you mentioned quickly is, being able to see the sign from the street. When someone comes up with a design and the font's too small, or it's too dark. So you can save people from making, mistakes like that, right?
I do. Very, very often I do. I have clients who will come to me with a very scripted font logo. And it looks lovely on a business card or on letterhead, but when you put it on your sign and put it up in the building, you can't read it. Nobody knows who you are or what you're doing. Another mistake that they make is they want their name to be the biggest thing, but what they do is very small and you can't read it. I can call it Dawn's and put Sign Tech really small. Nobody knows that Dawn makes signs. They just know that Dawn's, what does she do? What is she selling?
Right.
I have
Absolutely.
A lot of clients who sell children's products, and they want everything done in pastels. And they don't understand that pastels don't have enough contrast to one another. So I quite frequently will recommend, let's strengthen the colors up a bit. We're going to make them a little bit brighter. It's still the same tone of color, but we're going to strengthen it because, and they'll argue with me. I say, okay, just do me a favor, drive around town, come back and tell me how many pastel color signs you saw.
Right.
And they always come back
told
and say, I didn't see any.
I didn't see any.
And that's either because somebody made a pastel sign and you can't see it, or they've been properly advised to not use pastels. I have people who want to use purple and black together. Mm-mm, doesn't work. There are also other colors that are disturbing to look at. If you
we
put
only
red
have
and
10
blue,
seconds left on, so We got to jump in and grab
your
contact information.
Sure. All right, so my name is Dawn Peace. We're located at 33 Flagship Drive in North Andover, Massachusetts, and our number is 978-208-0012. Looking forward to helping you out.
Dawn, thanks for calling the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
You're very welcome, Kevin. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye now.
Bye.